Falun Gong is freely practiced in at least 57 countries around the world, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block all information, FGM-TV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else. Hello, and welcome to the FGM-TV Weekly News Review on August the 13th, 2002. I'm Susan Mitchell.
And I'm David Tompkins.
The number of Falun Gong practitioners in China verified to have died as a result of mistreatment by Jiang Zemin's regime is 450. However, sources inside China put the actual number in the thousands.
Our top story this week: a member of the British House of Lords urges the Chief Secretary for Administration of the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region Government to drop all charges against 16 Falun Gong practitioners.
And some of our other stories: over 1,000 female Falun Dafa practitioners are still being held in Masanja forced labor camp. Cambodia violates the UN Geneva Convention by deporting two Falun Gong Chinese holding UN refugee certificates back to China. Visitors to Singapore's largest consumer fair are introduced to Falun Dafa. Jiang's regime manufactures more propaganda in the wake of U.S. Concurrent Resolution 188. And the New Zealand government turns down a Chinese embassy request to cancel a Falun Dafa art exhibit. First, our top story. In Hong Kong, 16 Falun Gong practitioners, including four Swiss citizens, are being prosecuted for alleged obstruction. They were peacefully protesting about the right of Chinese citizens to practice Falun Gong without persecution at home and abroad, and without being tortured and murdered at home in pursuance of President Jiang Zemin's policy of torture and murder. The prosecution is a disgraceful and rather pathetic attempt of the Chinese authorities to make life difficult for Falun Gong in Hong Kong without actually banning it, and to warn foreigners that they should not practice it. The Hong Kong magistrates have a choice, and nobody can pretend it is an easy one. If they acquit the practitioners, they will be acting justly, but incurring the danger that their careers may be affected by the displeasure of the Beijing government. If they convict, they will perhaps help their careers in the short term, but given the manifest unfairness of the charges and of the whole campaign against Falun Gong, they will do their reputation no good when the policy of the government is reversed, as at some time it will be. They could perhaps make private representation to the effect that the one country, two systems approach to the Hong Kong question is to the advantage of Beijing in many ways, and that a not guilty verdict in this comparatively small affair would help to show that it's genuine. A guilty verdict, however, would show that there really is only one system, not two, and that system is a barefaced tyranny. Clear Wisdom website has received a report from China. At present, the second women's facility of the forced Masanja labor camp is still detaining over 1,000 female Falun Dafa practitioners. Under the Jiang regime's acts of state terrorism, more and more practitioners have been kidnapped. Therefore, a large four-story building built in November of 2001 has already been filled to capacity. Right now, the Masanja forced labor camp would rather detain four people by merging two beds in one room than to release these illegally detained practitioners who steadfastly insist in their spiritual belief. A number of very determined practitioners were locked in solitary confinement in small cells on the east side of the first story of the building. Among practitioners who were detained in these cells, some were persecuted until they suffered from mental collapse. Doctors in the second women's facility injected them daily with narcotics, an abuse of medicine that has been condemned by the international group Physicians for Human Rights. Practitioners who persisted in practicing exercises and sending forth righteous thoughts were also sent into these cells.
On August 12th, the Falun Dafa Information Center in New York advised that sources in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, report that under pressure from the Chinese embassy there, a Chinese couple who practiced Falun Gong and who held official United Nations refugee certificates have been deported back to China. Mr. Guo Junli and his wife, Xin Yi Zhang, are being held in a detention center in their home city of Changsha, the capital of Hunan province. Their condition is unknown. FDI spokesman Erping Zhang said, "This is a blatant and direct violation of their official status as UN refugees. We call on the UN to take immediate action to protect those whom it has granted refugee status. At this very moment, this couple could be facing severe torture or worse, simply because of their beliefs. This is precisely the situation the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees was established to prevent. Immediate action is necessary."
Moving now to Singapore. From July 31st to August the 4th, 2002, Falun Dafa practitioners participated in the country's biggest consumer fair. It was estimated that about 300,000 people would attend. A booth was rented to sell Dafa books and to hand out truth-clarifying literature and materials. Thousands of visitors and many Singaporeans and Chinese people took advantage of the opportunity to resolve their questions about Falun Dafa and also to learn about the exercises.
More propaganda in China. In spite of the fact that members of the United States House of Representatives unanimously passed Concurrent Resolution 188, drafted by Congresswoman Yelena Ross-Leitanen and co-sponsored by 100 members of Congress, calling for an end to the persecution of Falun Gong, China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson, Mr. Kong Chun, commented that this anti-China resolution was supported by an extremely small number of congressional members. Through this dissemination of misleading information, Jiang's regime has deceived its citizens while at the same time tapping into the emotion of Chinese nationalism. The so-called Western anti-China force is a ploy created by the Jiang regime. By regularly appealing to people's nationalism and the blind sentiments to their country, he hopes no one will pay attention to the cruel persecution, the killing of good citizens, and to the large-scale plundering and corruption.
Scottish practitioners win first prize in the annual Cavalcade Parade in Edinburgh. Falun Dafa fan dancers were rewarded with a front-page photograph in Scotland's biggest daily newspaper, The Scotsman, after they won first prize in the annual Cavalcade Parade on August the 4th. The famous annual art festival parade drew crowds of almost 200,000. And persecution statistics. During July of this year, 23 more deaths of Falun Gong practitioners in China as a result of mistreatment were reported, as well as a practitioner's family member who died after the police hung him upside down for several days. The victims were from 24 cities and towns in 10 provinces, including Hubei, Hebei, Shandong, Sichuan, Gansu, Hunan, Liaoning, Heilongjiang, and Guizhou. 4 deaths were even reported in one day alone. Risking arrest and even their lives, Chinese practitioners have managed to break through the blockade of information concerning these deaths in order to pass it on to practitioners in the West. 14 men and 9 women made up the total of 23 who were persecuted to death. Their ages ranged from 30 to 60 years old. Among them were peasants, laborers, officials, highly educated young men, and a Taoist monk. They were good, kind people in the eyes of their neighbors, colleagues, and relatives, and they were killed by Jiang's regime simply for believing in Falun Gong and clarifying the truth to people.
More press conferences and peaceful appeals were held in front of Chinese consulates and embassies around the world in support of those on trial in Hong Kong. We have photographs from Sydney, Melbourne, Australia, Gothenburg, Sweden, Moscow, Russia, and Tokyo.
The Chinese embassy in New Zealand once again tries to interfere in activities there. According to an August 9th report in the New Zealand Herald, Chinese embassy complaints to the speaker's office about a Falun Gong art exhibition have fallen on deaf ears. The embassy objected to a one-day exhibition of paintings in Parliament by an artist who belongs to the spiritual movement, which is banned in China. The exhibition, sponsored by Green MP Keith Locke, included information about Falun Gong and was displayed on the ground floor of the Beehive on August the 8th. Speaker Jonathan Hunt said the second secretary at the Chinese embassy had expressed disapproval. But Mr. Hunt said he had given the go-ahead, as New Zealand was a democratic country and different points of view were entitled to be aired.
And now to Japan. The Niigata Daily reported on July 22nd that Falun Gong practitioners were beginning a 130-kilometer walk to call for support in rescuing Yuko Kaneko, the wife of a Japanese citizen who was arrested in Tiananmen Square earlier this year. Ms. Kaneko is a 37-year-old Chinese citizen and Falun Gong practitioner who went to Beijing to protest the persecution of Falun Gong movement by the Jiang regime. The report said that the rescue walk would visit the Niigata city government and the Niitu city government on the first day, and that the walkers would also visit the Nagaoka city and the Shangshu city and other cities, districts, and villages. They plan to reach out to a total of 10 village governments and end their walk on July 28th.
Natural disasters continue to plague China. Voice of America reported on July 30th that unusually severe flooding in the province of Xinjiang in northwest China has affected 15 counties. The Xinjiang region is usually dry and rainstorms are rare. The region mainly depends on the melting of ice, snow, and glaciers for water, and therefore there are few facilities to prevent flooding. Currently, the water levels of 20 rivers in the region have passed their flood warning levels, and 7 are at their highest in recorded history. Many areas in China have suffered unusual floods this summer. About 800 people have died. The affected population in the disaster area has reached 100 million. And the flooding has caused direct economic loss of at least $200 million. And finally, touching the hearts of passers-by in front of the Chinese embassy in London, England. Since July 20 of this year, UK practitioners have displayed a poster with these words. Sit by my side, closing your eyes. Together in silence, we call for the end of torturing, the end of killing, the end of the persecution. Compassion grows in our hearts. Together in silence, our wishes can make a difference. After reading this poster and other materials of truth clarification, many people passing by signed our petition form to support our peaceful appeals, or stood or sat silently. There have been many touching stories.
For instance, last Sunday, the weather changed all the time between being sunny and raining heavily. A Caucasian man, over 50, well-dressed, stopped in front of the poster. While the practitioners sent forth righteous thoughts in the heavy rain, he sat down next to us. Although he had an umbrella in his hand, his clothes were soaked quickly. Since the heavy rain came down all of a sudden, the water could not drain away quickly and almost reached the level of the pavement. He carried on and still did not stand up. After a while, his trousers became completely soaked, and so he stood up. He then stood together with practitioners in silence. He spent about an hour with the practitioners there. Before he shook hands with practitioners to say goodbye, he told them that he is a Quaker and is very sympathetic to the Falun Gong practitioners and against the persecution.
On the same day, a middle-aged woman and a young man also joined the practitioner's peaceful appeal. Instead of sitting down, they knelt down and prayed.
Thanks for watching FGM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade,
revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.